Before the world was created, God was. In the beginning of creation, God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. This earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God moved about it. The Gospel of John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, with God and with the Spirit. Welcome this morning. Welcome to all of you who attend faithfully every Sunday. For those of us who come as often as we can, and for those who are visiting, you are welcome as we worship God on this Trinity Sunday, a time when we stop to pause and think about one of the great mysteries of our faith. God, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For our call to worship, your role, if you will, is to repeat when I give you the signal, you are God. So let's practice. You are God. We are going to be influenced by the Celts today in preparation for our time with John Bell in 2 weeks. In the infinity of night skies, in the free flashing of lightning, in whirling elemental winds, you are God. In the impenetrable mists of dark clouds, in the wild gusts of lashing rain, in the ageless rocks of the sea, you are God. You are in all things, contained by no thing. You are the life of all life and beyond every name. You are God. You are God in the eternal mystery. We praise you. Amen. And now if you would continue to pray with me. God of delight, your wisdom sings your word. At the crossroads where humanity and divinity meet, invite us into your joyful being, where you know and are known in each beginning, in all that sustains, in every redemption, that we may manifest your unity in the diverse mysteries that you create and in the ministries that you entrust to us, truly reflecting your majesty in the faith that acts, in the hope that does not disappoint, and in the love that endures forever. Amen. And now, as we continue to praise God with our voices, please turn in your hymnal as you stand, if you're able, for number 120, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you. can turn to number 124 in the same book. Even as a child, this hymn for me was one of the first that simply and straightforwardly spelled out this theology to me in each verse, and I loved listening to the women sing the verses. So women, when it comes your turn, let your heart overflow. Fifteen in the green, sing the journey hymnal. 15.
Thank you.
Let us enter into a time of confession. Holy, holy, holy God, in calling forth creation from the void, revealing yourself in human flesh, and pouring forth your wisdom to guide us, you manifest your concern for the whole universe. You invite us as your people to name the ways that we have turned from you, the ways that we have separated ourselves from you. And now, God, we bring those before you in silence. Holy, holy, holy God, fill us with strength and courage, with discernment and compassion, that we may be your instruments of justice and love in this world, that it may be on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And now, people of God, arise and receive these words of assurance. As the people of God, we have confessed, and we know that we are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit of power. And they invite us to share this in the holy dance. And as we begin our time of dancing together today, let us do that by sharing the peace of the one in our hearts, the peace of Christ. And so, may the peace of Christ be with each of you here today.
And also with you.
Please share the peace. Our first scripture this morning is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory."
Estaremos leyendo de Isaías 6, el 1 al 8. En el año que murió el rey Uzzías, yo vi al Señor sentado sobre un trono alto y sublime. El borde de su manto cubría el templo. Dos serafines permanecían por encima de él, y cada uno de ellos tenía 6 alas. Con 2 se cubrían el rostro, con 2 se cubrían los pies y con 2 volaban. Uno de ellos clamaba al otro y le decía: Santo, santo, santo es el Señor de los ejércitos. Toda la tierra está llena de su gloria.
The pivots on the threshold shook as the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
La voz del que clamaba hizo que el umbral de las puertas estremeciera, y el templo se llenó de humo. Entonces dije yo, ¡ay de mí! Soy hombre muerto. Mis ojos han visto al Rey, el Señor de los ejércitos, aun cuando soy un hombre de labios impuros y habito en medio de un pueblo de labios también impuros.
Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me.
Entonces uno de los serafines voló hacia mí. En su mano llevaba un carbón encendido que había tomado del altar con unas tenazas. Con ese carbón tocó mi boca y dijo, Con este carbón he tocado tus labios para remover tu culpa y perdonar tu pecado. Después oí la voz del Señor que decía, ¿A quién enviaré y quién irá por nosotros? Y yo respondí, Aquí estoy yo, envíame a mí.
And from the Gospel of John, chapter 16. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For the Spirit will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Juan capítulo 16, 13 al 15. Pero cuando venga el Espíritu de verdad, él los guiará a toda la verdad, porque no hablará por su propia cuenta, sino que hablará todo lo que oiga, y les hará saber las cosas que habrán de venir. Él me glorificará, porque tomará de lo mío y se lo hará saber. Todo lo que tiene el Padre es mío, por eso dije que tomará de lo mío y se lo dará a conocer a ustedes.
The word of the Lord.
La palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Our preacher this morning is our pastor, Nelson Crable. Let us pray for him. God, three in one, may you fill Nelson's heart this morning with that which sustains, with that which redeems, with your power, that your word may be manifest through him. Amen.
In the American Northwest, a man named Mac takes his children on a camping trip into the mountains. Disaster occurs on this trip as 6-year-old Missy disappears from the campground while she momentarily is alone. Police search for the little girl, but find only her bloodied clothing in an abandoned shack deep in the woods. Devastated by tragedy, and what appears to be unsolved murder, Max sinks into a dark place he calls the great sadness. Some of you will recognize this story from a recent novel called The Shack. Has anybody read it? Few. People either love or despise this book. 4 years after Missy disappears, the grieving father receives a note, a typewritten note in the mail, saying that Papa wants to meet him and wants him to come back to that shack. It turns out that Papa is God. And God is going to meet Mac at the very point of his deepest pain, exactly where many of us meet God. The rest of this book is conversation that Mac has with God back at that shack. The novel sold 10 million copies. We humans hunger for relationship with God. We are created to be in relationship with God. When we are broken or afraid or dying, we want to know that God loves us and is in control. The prophet Isaiah had a visionary encounter with God at a time of anguish for the nation of Israel. In the previous chapter, that is in chapter 5 of Isaiah, Isaiah declares accurately that the Assyrians are coming. The Assyrians, known in the ancient world and even known yet today in history books as a particularly cruel and vicious army. You can see at the British Museum the images of people being beheaded. This was like saying, ISIS is coming to your city. Get ready. And he says, Isaiah says in chapter 5, their arrows are sharp, their bows are bent, their horses' hooves seem like flint, their wheels whir windward, like young lions they roar, they growl and seize their prey, they carry it off, and no one can rescue. Is a loving God still in control? Still powerful to save in this kind of crisis? Is God powerful to save in the pain of divorce or the loss of a job or the death of a spouse or when we are in the grip of depression or addiction? An answer to those questions came to Mac at the shack. For Isaiah, it came through a vision that he described this way. I saw the Lord, and he was seated on a throne, high and lifted up, and the hem of his garment filled the temple, and seraphs were in attendance around him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. With two they flew. One called to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory. And the pivots of the thresholds shook at these voices. And the house filled with smoke. Wow! What a vision of God! And these amazing heavenly beings with six wings, with two they covered their faces so they wouldn't gaze on the holiness of God. And that phrase, they had two wings that covered their feet, really is a euphemism to say they were covering themselves for modesty. And with two they flew. And Isaiah sees that the glory of God and the power of God fills the universe. Yes, this God is in control. You are in good hands, Isaiah. And he says, I'm a sinner. I'm a wicked man. And God's Spirit comes and the hot coals touch his mouth. And God changes Isaiah and God makes him a holy vessel for God's work and God's glory. That's what God wants for you and for me. Mac arrives at that shack in the mountains where Missy died. And God turns out to be a plump African-American woman named Papa in an apron, a woman who loves to cook, who throws her arms around Mac and says, we've been waiting for you. You've come. She dances and jokes. Patiently, she listens to Mac's grief and his anguished questions. If Papa could not protect Missy, why should I trust you for anything? Finally, Papa says this, Mac, I want to heal the wound that has grown inside of you and between us. Honey, there's no easy answer that will take your pain away. Believe me, if I had one, I'd use it now. I have no magic wand to wave over you and make it all better. Life takes a bit of time and a lot of relationship. So Papa doesn't fix everything for Mac. What she offers is relationship. I'm here for you. A very biblical concept. Mac comes to see that she is present and caring even in the midst of all his pain. Central to Jewish understanding of God is that God is one. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. It's just one. You only have one deity. Because early followers of Jesus were Jews, these early people of the way were Jews. They would have daily recited that prayer, God is one. And so they struggled to put into words and into images and into circles or whatever their understanding of Jesus and then the Holy Spirit. You see, at the transfiguration, this moment when Peter, James, and John are up on the mountaintop with Jesus, they're on kind of a spiritual retreat, and suddenly it's as if the sunglasses fall off of their face and they see Jesus just straight and they see his dazzling glory and his garments turn white. They see the holiness of Jesus. They see that Jesus is God. This is not just pyrotechnics demonstration. This is Jesus' divinity being shown to his followers. And then the empty tomb shows that even death cannot contain Jesus. No mortal can say that. That's something of God if death cannot stop him. Jesus is God with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, the church says. And so the earliest believers from the earliest layer of tradition we have, believers are worshiping Jesus. This is not something that came centuries later as some interpreters try to say today, no, the earliest tradition is fall down and worship. So that left the church with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit poured out at Pentecost. Do we have three gods? Is this a committee? with all its doctrinal problems, and there are doctrinal problems in this book, the shack tries to bring together and put into allegorical images this God three in one. God is a loving African-American woman called Papa. Jesus is a slightly clumsy Middle Eastern carpenter with the tool belt around his waist, running errands around the shack, dropping God's bowl full of batter and breaking it on the floor, and they end up laughing till they're in tears. The Holy Spirit is a semi-transparent Asian woman named Sarayu, an Indian word for wind, who loves gardening and makes Mac feel like he's floating off the ground when he talks with her. Papa, Jesus, and Sarayu are in constant fellowship. They're caring for Mac. They're caring for our world. They're yielding to one another in love. They're working together in joy and laughter and compassion. And they are inviting Mac into their fellowship. You know, come, be, sit down at the table, be part of this, enter in. This is the miracle of Trinity. It's not a closed loop. When we talk about God as three in one, it's not just sort of some description of a kind of threesome going on up in heaven. This is about relationship. It's about how God relates to the world and relates to you and me and invites us into the circle. We, like the early church, experience God in diverse ways. The word Trinity occurs nowhere in the Bible. This is a later word that the early church used to describe what they see in the Bible and what we experience, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some early Christians, trying to explain the relationship between the three, used the Greek word perichoresis. Peri meaning around, and choresis meaning to move. You recognize it in choreography. Peri, around, choreography, perichoresis. They described it as a kind of, well, we might even say a circle dance. It's a relationship of the three. They're kind of in movement. They're relating to one another, even as the church said, this is one being. In 1930 and 31, Dietrich Bonhoeffer of Germany, as a young man, lived in New York City and studied there for a year. He studied under Reinhold Niebuhr. He heard magnificent sermons by Harry Emerson Fosdick. And then Bonhoeffer went back to Germany, and he went back to lay down his life in obedience to Jesus Christ. And some of us have read his great book, The Cost of Discipleship, and other works. He went back there to found an underground seminary at Finkenwald. He was part of the resistance to Hitler. His faith had very clear social and political implications that were radically centered on Jesus. And he was pretty scathing about what he saw in the North American Christian church. He wrote this, Bonhoeffer, in New York, they preach about virtually everything. Only one thing is not addressed, or is addressed so rarely that I have as yet been unable to hear it, namely, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cross, sin, forgiveness, death, and life. So, Bonhoeffer asked, what stands in the place of this Christian message? An ethical and social idealism. He said the church in America has reduced the gospel to a set of ethical ideas, a political agenda. Now, this is a man who cared deeply about politics. He went back and gave his life for that, standing up against Hitler. He literally laid down his life. But to talk about cross and resurrection and sin and forgiveness and what we need to get in right relationship with God is to talk about Trinity. Because in Christian understanding, our salvation comes through a relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit into which we are invited and by which we are changed. It's that relationship within the Godhead, as we might call it, that then becomes opened up, especially through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and through the pouring out of the Spirit at Pentecost. It's the opening up of that circle dance that brings us our salvation. And Bonhoeffer understood that. He said, in New York, the church had a program full of, quote, teas, lectures, concerts, charity events, opportunities for sports, games, bowling, dancing for every age group. But you didn't hear the gospel. Now, to be fair, he didn't like fundamentalist conservatives any better. He said those Christians in America have, quote, an unrelenting harshness in holding on to their material and spiritual possessions. They hang on to it, and they are mean-spirited about it. He didn't like them either. What Bonhoeffer did like in American Christianity was, guess, the black churches. He wrote, in contrast to the lecture-like character of the white sermon, the black Christ is preached with captivating passion and vividness. Anyone who has heard and understood the Negro spirituals knows about this strange mixture of reserved melancholy and eruptive joy. And he studied the Negro spirituals, as they were called then. He's got the whole world in his hands. I want Jesus to walk with me. You know that one? Sometimes I feel discouraged, and I think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm. There is a balm in to make the wounded whole. To make the wound. There is a balm. There is a balm in to heal the sin-sick soul. To heal the sin-sick soul. Black spirituals speak of Father, Son, and Spirit, and the singers are in relationship with that three-in-one God at a heart level, at a gut level, not just in the head, not just with their politics. Bonhoeffer went back to Germany just as that country, I would say, morally was falling apart. As Hitler rose to power, it was a terrifying moment in European history. And in a sermon during that difficult time, Bonhoeffer said, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? By asking this question, he said, we are already on our knees before him, praying to him, pointing to him, saying, this is God. That is Trinitarian faith. Jesus, God with us, in our boat, the Spirit sustaining us. Brian McLaren says, Trinity is an eternal dance of the Father, Son, and Spirit, sharing mutual love, honor, happiness, joy, and respect. God is inviting more and more beings into the eternal dance of joy. McLaren says, sin means stepping out of that dance, stomping on feet instead of moving with grace, rhythm, and reverence. In Jesus, God enters creation to restore the rhythm and the beauty again. That's what I want for my life. Dearly beloved, let us join the dance of Papa, Jesus, and Holy Spirit in worship, obedience, and joy. Amen.
We want to sing a chorus in response. It's not printed for you anywhere, but we think that you will know it or pick it up. So sing as you are able. It is it's the Isaiah text. It's a version of that.
Thank you. Praise of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
Go in peace. Thanks be to God.